You're listening to Michael Sargent's Right to be Heard.
Right to be Heard.
In collaboration with the University of Louisville's Film and Media Department.
Only on turquoiseradio.com.
Old Stone Press was founded by John Clark in 2012. John Clark owned and operated a custom manufacturing and commercial printing company for 27 years. Midland Communications Packaging Incorporated was a national award-winning innovator in the presentation packaging field. Midland designed, printed, and built custom loose-leaf ring binders, high-impact point-of-purchase retail packaging, and presentation packaging for business and industry. Along with his partners, he introduced Print on Demand, POD, to the Louisville, Kentucky regional marketplace in the mid-1990s and served as a beta site for the then innovative Indigo ePrint full-color digital printing technology now owned and marketed by Hewlett-Packard. He also holds the patent rights to the CoroGrip product lines that are highly sought after in the loose-leaf sheet music and choral music industry. For more information, visit CoroGrip.biz. I hope I did pronounce that product name correctly. Please correct me if I didn't.
No, that's correct.
Okay. Midland was sold in March of 2006, so John could pursue other interests and explore the book publishing industry. After publishing the award-winning coffee table book, History in the Making, The Story of the American Printing House for the Blind, in 2008, through the late Bill Butler and Butler Books, he launched Old Stone Press to meet the needs of author publishers like himself who needed help navigating the often overwhelming wilderness of the self-publishing and book packaging industry. John's civic work includes being involved with many nonprofit and for-profit boards in the Louisville area, including the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, Louisville Visual Art Association, and the New Kentucky School of Art at Spalding University, and Bourbon Baroque, Louisville's period instrument ensemble. He is a member of Leadership Louisville and is a Bingham Fellow. He also was a longtime board member of the Binding Industries of America and served as its president in 2001 and 2002. The BIA is now an affiliate of the Printing Industries of America, headquartered outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with offices in Washington, D.C. John has recently published Hazlitt's Journal, the Gold Rush saga of his great-grandfather, George Cheever Hazlitt. For more information, visit hazlittsjournal.com. And please correct me if I want to make, did I get your great-grandfather's name correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Hazlitt, George Cheever Hazlitt.
George Cheever Hazlitt. What an adventure. John is a graduate of the University of New Mexico with a Bachelor of Arts in Fine Arts. He and his wife, Gretchen, live in Louisville, Kentucky. John, welcome to Right to be Heard.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Michael. I appreciate it.
Well, John, I think it's just quite fortunate. I mean, very, very fortunate for the show that we were able to get together, sort of off-center way that it ended up coming about. Of course, I was supposed to have attended an office forum, but it was unable to due to a scheduling conflict. And so missed out on meeting you directly, but thank goodness to my partner, Jenny, was able to get it done. And she was quite excited to meet you. And usually she's a pretty good judge. So, and for our listeners out there, we, John and I did meet in person, and we had the luxury of doing that since we're both in Louisville, Kentucky. But John, you have, your bio gives hints about your background and maybe a little bit about how that led you to where you are. I mean, I guess, you know, some people could connect the dots, but it's not an obvious transition, I don't think, that you made. I'm curious to know what, from your business background, you know, what, 27 years in the business or so, when and why did you say it's time to hang it up and And had you thought about doing this sort of work prior to leaving the business world, the other part of the business world?
Yeah, Michael, running a company with several, we had nearly, at one point, 60 employees, and we were a manufacturing company, had really enjoyed my time and a bunch of great people, loved my employees. We made some great products together. But the printing industry is a challenge, and it's, it's very competitive. It's, you're always involved in investing in new equipment. It seems like every year you got to buy the next new thing on the market, or else you can't be competitive. And that's a challenge. And it takes a lot of capital to do that. And after 27 years of doing that, I thought it was time to make a change. Our industry was challenged in the early. The early 2000s, and then we had this recession that I was fortunate. I sold my business in building just prior to this recession that happened in, 2007, 2008. So I was lucky there. But it was time for me to move on to something else. And I kicked that around for a long time, but during the course of my business, I've always been hung around the publishing industry. A lot of customers I had were in the publishing business and used custom loose leaf ring binders as an answer to some of their publications, like cookbooks, manuals, sales manuals, and that sort of thing. So the production of gathering that information, working with graphic designers, working even with writers and copy editors, I was comfortable in that arena. And I had a one fabulous client in Louisville called the American Printing House for the Blind. They're the world's largest, at least the largest in the United States, manufacturer of educational materials for the blind and the partially sighted. We helped them develop products. We manufactured them, and they, of course, would distribute them or sell them. But we helped in different ways of helping them develop some of their product line. And I'd always been fascinated with the company. I mean, it was just a treat to go down there and to work with those folks. And when I sold Midland in 2006, Dr. Tuck Tinsley, who runs the American Printing House for the Blind, asked me, he said, in kind of tongue-in-cheek, said, now that you've sold my company out from underneath me, can you help me with another project that's near and dear to our hearts down here? And I said, well, what's that? He said, well, we've got this history, 150-year-old history of the American Printing House, and we need some help producing this book. We, of course, will write it, but as things go, if you're trying to, some projects, you try to develop, if you're too close to it, you may be looking for a thoroughbred, but you might get a camel out of it. And I think our folks need to kind of step away from the problem and get some outside help, at least some guidance. And you've been so close to our people down here and know our product line so well. You're sensitive to our mission and vision. Could you help us develop this product? I said, Jesus, that's great, because I've been kind of hammering around the publishing industry anyway, and I certainly know how to make books and how to bind them, because that's what I did, and I was associated with that industry for over 27 years. I'd love to try to do that for you. And so they gave me the project, and I hired a graphic designer. We took their manuscript and we developed an award-winning book, actually. And I published that book through a friend of mine who we'd done a book or two before, I'd worked with him on projects as a client while I was at Midland, or when I was running Midland, Bill Butler, actually a high school friend of mine. And Bill had a publishing company called Butler Books in Louisville. A lot of folks, when they hear that name, they'll recognize the wonderful books that he published and his wife published. His wife's name's Carol. Bill this project with American Printing House was actually one of the last ones before his death. He kind of had an untimely death. He had cancer and passed away. He was a wonderful guy. He helped me understand the publishing business, and this project really kind of launched my career, and I'll be forever in debt to he and his wife for allowing me to do this with them. But we published the history of it's on my website. If you're interested, go to oldstonepress.com and you can see the book, American Printing House for the Blind book, History in the Making. But that's kind of what really launched me into the industry, which is only a part of it, actually. I mean, the people that there are a lot of wonderful writers out there, and most of them, you know, have this great vision that HarperCollins or one of the big publishers, traditional press publishers, are going to tap them and say, here's a big down payment, and we love what you've written, and we're going to take your book and make a movie out of it, and keep on, you know, just hit it out of the park. Well, that's not really what happens in the publishing world. Especially now, it's got to be a lot more competitive, and very difficult for traditional publishers to make money and to find. You know, they have so much good content out there, they cannot pick up everybody that comes to them, or with an agent, to bring them content to publish a book. There's so much of it out there, so many good writers and good men, but there's also an awful lot of crap out there also, as everybody knows. There's a lot of bad books out there. But it's hard for them to pay the upfront royalties that they used to be able to do now. And a lot of that has to do with Amazon.com. That's the big elephant in the room when anybody ever talks about publishing and distribution. So I wanted to kind of ferret this out, because I knew how to make books, but I really did not know how to market and distribute them very well. I've got a kind of a marketing background. You do, when you're an entrepreneur and have your own business, you kind of understand how to go to market when you got a product line, and you learn a lot of things. And after 27 years, I felt I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, a fair understanding, right?
fair understanding of that. But there's a lot more to it in the publishing industry, and the self-publishing vanity press thing that is out there. If you're a writer and a very creative person, there's a lot of detail there that they may not really want to get involved in. They really want to create and write and design or work on books that is really the content instead of having to worry about the detail. And I think there's not that there's a lot of predators out there, but there's so many people out there trying to sell a service that they get everybody a book, and then they walk away from them, and they don't really follow through with that, and sometimes they don't even pay royalties when they promised royalties. So I wanted to kind of figure that out, try to put together a system, and that's taken me about 3 years to do this. I've made some mistakes, and I've learned, and I've got a you know, it's simple as it is. I do have a system for taking books to market, and I do understand the detail of production, which is can be very daunting to some folks that really only want to do is write, and not have to worry about the production side or the marketing and distribution side of a book. So that's how that's a little bit how Old Stone Press came to be. I felt there were a lot of good. There's a lot of good content out there. There were writers out there who were writing stuff that they could not get the attention of the traditional presses, and they needed help. They could do it themselves, of course, and make a whole lot more money, or they can go to work for or come together with someone like me, which is our company is an author services company that has evolved into a partnership publishing.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
Go ahead.
Well, go right ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, do you see yourself as a competitor to an Amazon or a Vanity Press, or are you filling a need in the market that they do not? Because you mentioned the impersonal nature.
Here's a couple. It's funny. It's evolved, and I've soon found out that this is an innovative concept. It's brand new. It's what the future is for the publishing industry. The way I've seen it is the traditional press, which is like HarperCollins, or there's a big five that they talk about, and I can't even name them all. But where the author is paid some money up front. It used to be big dollars, like, you know, 50, 100 grand or whatever. You don't get a whole lot of that unless you're a celebrity. But they're, you know, anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000, would be a down payment. And then you'd have to work against, then that would be worked against a royalty payment for the sales of books. And, you know, most of these books that are published today, there's so many of them out there, the average is really a few hundred, not several thousand. And to make it as an author, you have to produce a lot of books. And a successful book that I found for folks is if they can sell a few thousand of them, that's a 1,000 to 2,000, 3,000 books, they are starting to become successful, because that's usually beyond their close-knit circle of family and friends. They are starting, when you start selling 1,000 books or more, you are selling to people that don't know you. That means, that should tell you that you've got content, or you've got, you're writing something that other people want to listen to, want to hear. You are teaching someone, you are educating someone on something that they don't, they're just not being nice by buying your book. Mm-hmm. They're buying a book because they want it. And whether it's because of the graphics, because of what you've written, the poetry, the novel, you know, whether it's nonfiction or fiction, you are writing something that someone beyond your family, and your close-knit circle of friends, that is wanted or needed in the marketplace. And so people don't just sell thousands of books, and everybody goes into it thinking they're going to sell 10, 20 million books even. And you don't want to squelch that, but they forget how hard it is to get there. And if you're a celebrity, you got a lot going for you. You know, if you're Oprah, or if you're
your name's already out there.
You're Robert Redford, or, you know, whatever. You're out there, and have already got a brand going for you. But today, the average guy doesn't have that. But he might have some great stuff. But he's got to get it out there, and he's got to promote it, and it takes a lot of work. These publishers they get so many books, they can get you launched, but they can't do it. They can't go to every, you know, book signing. They can't go to every speech that you're going to give. The author really has to do a lot of work. And most people don't know that's part of the deal if they're going to be successful in writing a book or publishing. No one wants to talk to the publisher. Hell, they want to talk to the author. You know, and the author needs to learn how to speak. They need to learn how to be interviewed. They need to learn how to present their information, and they need to develop their own way, pretty much. And that's pretty much what self-publishing is about. And they're not going to, you know, the traditional presses can't do that. They only do it for the celebrities, basically, and for someone that really has come up with a specialized piece of information or content that which could be anything. You know, I mean, I don't know where to. I don't even, can't think of an example right now. But it takes. I'll tell you an example of that. And a lot of the gals here might probably do remember a book called Pearl in the Storm. And that's a book that written by Tori Merton McClure, who's a local celebrity here. She's the first woman that rowed alone across the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not sure how many books she's written, but this is really the only book that she's written. And now she happens to be president of Spalding University here in Louisville. But she is she's written a book. She's on the speakers tour. She travels the world talking about her experience. She is a celebrity, and she's sold thousands of books. But most people only sell a few hundred. But once you get over that 1,000, 2,000 mark, you're selling to folks that don't know you. And that's exciting.
So I'll tell you what,
I probably digressed or ran away from your question. I can't remember what you asked me.
No. That's great information, and I want to follow up on that. But we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. I'm here with John Clark, founder, owner of Old Stone Press, here in just a few minutes. I'm Michael Sargent. You're listening to Right to Be Heard on TRQTurquoiseRadio.com.